The first article I have down is that the mystery gospel makes no difference between Jew and Gentile. Now, what other gospels besides the mystery gospel have made that difference? And the reference is Ephesians 2, 14 and 15. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, that is Jew and Gentile, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain, that is the two, the Jew and the Gentile, one new man, so making peace. Now that is different from anything that we have had before in the Bible. Second point, it is good news to the nations. And we have a little reference on that. This gospel, the dispensation of mystery, has good news for the nations. Ephesians 3:8. Unto me, I am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. I don't think we need to comment on that very much. Paul had before the beginning of Acts, or the last of Acts, during that Acts period when he was preaching a good news of the kingdom of the Jews, the kingdom of heaven, to the nations or the Gentiles. But here, since there's no difference between them and they all can be Gentiles, why, he says he has good news to the nations, regardless of any nationality they might claim. And the third item is that this mystery gospel says that those who believe it inherit a place in the holiest of all heavenly places. And we have on that Ephesians 3:6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of his power. And then he goes on and tells us a little bit more of the details on that. Now Colossians 1:12 probably will help us a little bit on that. Let's take a look at that. Colossians 1:12. I hope you have your Bibles and get busy. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints, or in the Holy of Holies, in the light, that is, in the great Shekinah glory of God. And point number four, this gospel of the dispensation of the mystery is not accompanied by signs. There aren't any mentioned. The gospel of the kingdom, there are many signs. Not only in Acts 2 and on, but even before that, during the time that our Lord was on earth, there were signs. And so we do not expect signs today. Any of the great miracles of the Pentecostal period and so on, we don't expect those. And fifth point, that this dispensation of the mystery acknowledges Christ as head. Now he had been preached as king of the kingdom, king of the kingdoms of the earth, up until the end of Acts. And now, this gospel of the mystery acknowledges Christ as head. Ephesians 1:22. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him be the head over all things to the church. And also in Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Well, I think we can find some more. There are a number of places where he's spoken of as head. As you read through Ephesians and Colossians especially, watch for those places and enumerate them. The church of the mystery was not prophesied in the Old Testament, or was it prophesied in the New Testament till we get to Ephesians, for all that matter. And look at Ephesians 1:26 on that. Ephesians 1:26. Excuse me, I've made a mistake. It's Colossians 1:26, excuse me. I misled you that time. Colossians 1:26. I'll get it after a while. Well, I'll take the verse before. He speaks about the body, say, which is a church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God that's given to me for you, to complete or fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Until now, he says, it was hid from ages and generations, but now he is writing and telling that it is being made known. Our seventh point is that Paul was the first one to hear the good news of the gospel of the mystery. And he tells us that in Ephesians 3:1-3. Ephesians 3:1-3. And there Paul says, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God was given me to you, word, out of a revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote a foreign few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages are not made known unto the sons of men. Well, I read a little bit more than that, but you can see it. He here is claiming that God gave him a special dispensation of grace that he might preach this gospel as a mystery. And number 8, this gospel looks forward to Christ being manifested with his saints in heavenly places. This is far above any ideas of coming in the clouds of heaven, the rapture, his coming to set up his kingdom, his appearance as you find in Revelation 19, other places. But this particular one looks forward to Christ being manifested with his saints in heavenly places. And Colossians 3:1-4. We're taking it back between between these two, which were his first epistles written. And of course, his 3:1-4 is one of our great portions to express our hope. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, for Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead, or you've died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And in the 4th verse, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Where? In glory. That's a place. It's not in the air. It's not here on the earth. It's in the heavenly places. And point number 9, hopes. It hopes for the day when the body and the head will be united in heavenly places. A great day coming. That is in Ephesians 1:9-10. Ephesians 1:9-10. A little more to this, these verses than that, but we'll probably come to it again. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Now I will put all of that together there. Just take some words out of the one before, because the period wasn't in the right place. In all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. And so, there all these things be united in him. The things on the earth being his church, the things in heaven, principalities, powers, rights, and dominions. And he'll be head over all of those. Gathered together in one, there has the word kephale in the middle of it in the Greek, which is the word for head. So he'll head up both these parties. They'll be one. Point number 10 is a little bit sadder. It foretells apostasy in the last days, which began back in the time of Paul and has been going on ever since. And it's rampant in the world today. Apostasy. Paul lost a lot of people in his time. All Asia departed from him. Even Demas left him. And so today we have many a Demas. We have many groups of people that have departed from him. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now this is about today, and it started back in the time of Paul. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. And over in 2 Timothy 4:3-4, we have some of the same thing practically repeated, but we'll read that. 2 Timothy 4:3-4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, so they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. I'll turn back to the chapter before, chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, and 1 to 9. This looks a little bit more like what we read over in 1 Timothy. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Not as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so does these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no farther, for their folly shall be manifest in all men, as theirs also was. I don't need to comment too much on that. I think those who get around a little bit, they can see that these things are being fulfilled. And reveals the fact that the kingdom of his dear son includes the heavenly places. That's a part of the gospel, the dispensation, the mystery. And we find that in Colossians 1:13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son? So we learn from this that the kingdom of Christ covers more than just this earth. It covers the heavenly places, far above all heavens, far above and beyond the stars. Number 12, this dispensation of the mystery, its gospel, includes no Jewish rites. I'll get that. It includes no Jewish rites. Colossians 2:16. I notice it carefully as we read it. Let no man, therefore, judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of an holiday, or the new moon, or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Notice those things. In meat, that is, whatever you eat or abstain from meat or any of those things, or what you drink, in commemoration of the Passover or something like that, and respect of holy days or holidays, and of the new moon, which they use to look to find when their festivals were to be, like the Passover was 14 days after the new moon, the same way with the Feast of Tabernacles. And so, there are no Jewish rites connected with this. Go down to verse 20 in this chapter 2 of Colossians. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship, and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. You see, in the dispensation of the mystery, what we do with our hands, as far as rituals and worship and stuff like that is concerned, is not acceptable. But to worship in spirit and truth, as Paul told the Philippians, and as the Lord prophesied to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, that the day was coming when there would be no place to worship like Jerusalem or their place, but that men would worship in spirit and in truth. Well, that's a little bit hard for some folks. They got to have their place of worship, they got to have their priesthood, and they have to have their rituals. Or they think they have nothing. And practically that's true. If that's what they have, why, that amounts to nothing. Our 13th point, this gospel of the dispensation mystery has no place whatever for the Passover and the New Covenant. Aye. And here we have the whole last part of the Bible called the New Testament, New Covenant. And here we have seven books in it, at least, that have nothing whatever to do with the New Covenant and the Passover. Paul's last seven epistles. Well, what are we going to do about that? Well, that kind of knocks man's works in the head, doesn't it? Kind of takes away our glorying, our boasting. Yes? We're left with nothing to boast of. And this gospel is proclaimed that all men might know the dispensation of the mystery. Ephesians 3:9. That all men might know the dispensation of the mystery. And to make all men see what is its fellowship or dispensation of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world or the ages has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. It was kept a secret. That's the reason it's called a mystery. Something that wasn't revealed until the time came to reveal it. And the time came at the end of Acts, and the one to reveal it was Paul. He was chosen especially for that particular job. There are others that shared it with him, as we find in Ephesians 4, I believe it's 11. Number 18, founded on the apostles and prophets chosen by the ascended Lord and Head. And we find that in Ephesians 2, and I was just speaking of that, Ephesians 2, alright, 20, and also 4:11. 2:20, we've just read that, are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being a chief cornerstone. And we read a little while ago about these things hadn't been made known to the apostles and prophets. Now we get over here to 4:11 and we'll see what happens. Well, verse 10, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things, or fulfill all things. And he gave some to be apostles, and some to prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So these are the ones that's mentioned when he speaks about not revealed until other apostles and prophets, as it is to apostles and prophets today. Well, this gospel, point number 16, looks to the day when all things will be gathered together in one. We have hit that from a different angle, but we will look at it again. Ephesians 1:9. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, you might gather together in one, not two or three or 100, but one, the things in Christ, all things in Christ, which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. There'll be a unity not different groups, bodies, tribes, and what have you. Item number 17. This gospel of the dispensation of the mystery has no part in the millennial kingdom. It's far above that. Christ is king in the millennium, but in the church, he's the head. So the two have nothing in common. And point number 18 speaks of an earlier resurrection, as we find in Philippians 3:11. Well, we're not going to take time here to make a long discussion on this. It's been a bone of contention for a long time, but just simply state it. Paul says in verse 10 that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformed unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now remember that the dispensation of mystery, which is about the church, which is the body of Christ, has an earlier resurrection. It's the last thing that God reveals, and it's the first thing that's worked out. In other words, the last will be first, and the first will be last. And so, before the tribulation starts, and before those things start for Israel, the church will be taken off the scene. And so this resurrection here. So Paul's resurrection is still in the future, and so is ours, who belongs to the church, which is the body of Christ. Number 19, this gospel of the dispensation of mystery is preached or proclaimed to all nations with no priority to any. Ephesians 3:1, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. That's all nation. Also, 2 Timothy 4:1. Over here on page 18:18. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant, be in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Preach to all nations. Lump them all together as the quick and the dead. I think maybe I might have another verse on that too. Now, I can't read my own writing. All right. The entrance into this church, which is a body of Christ, is by adoption. Ephesians 1:5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Now that word children is huios, and it means sons. So there's an adoption. Somehow or other, you know, you don't join this church. Did you ever realize that? You can join man-made churches. They're glad to have you if you have a good full pocketbook. But here you don't join. Somebody else does the joining. Now, adoption means coming of age, for one thing. A Jewish child come to the age of adoption when he was 12. Then he could sit with his daddy in the congregation in a synagogue. And he could start taking part in some of the affairs, discussions. Even our Lord, when he was 12, he went to the temple with his parents and he talked to the priests and so on. Now, before he was 12, he could not do that. But he had become of age, an adoption as a son. I'm trying to explain that so you know what it means. Point number 21. I'll have to take another look at that. I think it's Ephesians 1:4. Yes. It's Ephesians 1:4. Chosen before the overthrow. Before what happened in Genesis 1:2. Before what happened in 2 Peter, where he speaks about everything going up in a flame, or having been destroyed by an overthrow of water. And so here, in Ephesians 1:4, according as he has chosen us in him, before the foundation. Well, that word foundation in the classical Greek was all right. That was a good translation, because that's the way they got to using the word. But in the word it was used when this book was written, it's overthrow. Kata bole, and that's what the word actually means. Kata down and bole is to throw. Before the foundation of the world or world order, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now there's no record that anybody else has ever chosen that early. Israel seemed to be chosen in Abraham. But here we are chosen in Christ before even the great overthrow of Genesis 1:2. Before Satan's rebellion and the great catastrophe that came of that. All right, and number 22. This gospel, the dispensation, is only for those who will spend their future, eternity as some people would call it, in the heavenly places. And we find that in Ephesians 2. 5 and 6. Even when you were dead in sins, has quickened us together with sin, with Christ, by grace you are saved, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Notice this all together with Christ. We're quickened together with Christ when he came alive after his death. Raised up together with Christ. I made us to sit together. That word has the idea of enthroned in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. My, what a future. No wonder so few people can believe it. Just too good to be true, isn't it? And number 23, it speaks of its subjects being far above all principality and power, above angels too. And find that in Colossians. Now, Colossians 3:4, and also in 2:18. Colossians 3:4. And 2:18. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, or be made manifest, then shall ye also appear with him, associated with him, in glory. Where? In glory. The highest heavens. And going back and getting 2:18, I think that is the one I want. Now let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Well, that's not exactly the verse that I wanted. My writing is blurred. Anyway, we have the scripture and you can go on with that. Number 27. Says that it is proper for younger women to marry. It's in 1 Timothy 5:14. I just remember that when Paul was writing back to such churches as the Corinthians and the Thessalonians and so on, and the tribulation is coming near and so on, why he said married people should live as if they were not married, and young folks should not marry, because in that time of great tribulation would be very hard, especially on the women. And we're told that in Matthew 24, that women with children would have a hard time of it. And so here in 1 Timothy 5:14, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Well, a change of dispensation makes a change, you see, in the policy. Then there was danger that the tribulation would be at hand, not postponed, for two periods or eras. And so then, when writing to Timothy, he says, it's all right now, because this is not in sight now. And number 28, it warns of vain philosophies. Vain, empty philosophies. And we have a lot of philosophy in the world today. Colossians 2:8. Of course, now, if you go to a seminary or something like that, you've got to study some philosophy. Now, do you know what that word philosophy means? Well, the first part of it means a lover. And the last part of it means wisdom, a lover of wisdom. But all too often it's man's wisdom instead of God's wisdom that they are lovers of. That's where the rub comes. Now beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ, and not after the early church fathers either. I'll put that in. I'll add that much to it. I'm sure it's right. Now that takes us down to number 30. I having a little bit of trouble here. We'll try to get through on time. Was first preached in chains to any that came to Paul and would listen, as you find in Acts 28:30-31. And there it says, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. And the next one, it will cease to be preached, this dispensation of the mystery, when the nation of Israel is told. And, of course, we have a number of references on that, but especially we can see in Hosea 6:2, that after 2 days, on the third day, Israel will be restored. That is, after this gospel is being preached now for two periods of time. Now, they're called years. A year could be 1,000 years. That is, a day, I mean. A day could be 1,000 years. But it doesn't plainly tell us that, so we can just say, well, it's two periods of time. And the next one was not preached before being in effect. In other words, it wasn't proclaimed beforehand, wasn't told to anybody beforehand. But it became of effect the moment that Paul began to preach it. There's no preparation of hint, or hint of its coming, whatever is hid from ages and generations. Also, another point, revealed to Paul alone, but by preached by others with him. Now we've hit that a little bit. We saw these apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists over in Ephesians 4:11, and they were the ones who were preaching this mystery with Paul. They had to get it from him because to him alone was given the revelation. And so there wasn't anybody else that got a revelation concerning the mystery. Now, if anybody tells you that God talked to him today or gave him a new revelation and so on, you can know that he's absolutely fibbing because God is not acting that way in this day. All that we need to know about this dispensation of the mystery, the gospel for today, is what he gave to Paul. And Paul said that he finished the word of God, fulfilled it in Colossians. And this gospel of the mystery is first found in Ephesians. That's the first place you find it. And almost right off. You won't find it anywhere in the Bible before that. You can read from Genesis right straight through till you get to Ephesians. You will not find this gospel, the dispensation of the mystery. It's not there. And the next point was preached after Acts to any that would hear it. Neither Jews nor Gentile now, so any would hear it. As we found there in the last of Acts. Next point does not include anything about the new Jerusalem, which of course is a part of the kingdom program. That church, that has nothing to do with the church which is the body of Christ. This new Jerusalem will be on the new earth, never in the heavenly places. It does come down from the new heaven, which will be above the earth, and when the new heaven and earth is come together. Now you have to read Revelation 21 to get the details on that. But the gospel, the dispensation mystery does not include any of that, whatever. And a point tells us that Christ spoiled principalities and powers by the cross. Colossians 2:15. Well, we better take a look at that. Colossians 2:15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, that is, in the cross. And so, all principalities and powers and so on are overcome. And it includes quickening, raising, and seating with Christ at the right hand of the Father, and with a manifestation, of course, in prospect. Now, we've read scriptures on that. Ephesians 3:5 and 6 and Colossians 3:4. And it was proclaimed by those called both Jews and Gentiles. In other words, there was Timothy, there was Titus proclaiming the mystery. You don't find any Gentiles proclaiming the kingdom, do you? Never. And it was never preached in the synagogues. And another point, makes no difference in circumcision, uncircumcision, or any other fleshly distinctions. And we have that made clear. And this gospel makes it clear that none is under the law, but walk by grace. And I don't think we need to argue that. And our last point is, verily, it is true for today. And so that ends that little study, and we just made it in the time allotted.